Late Night Gamers podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
Sucks so bad, it's on balance, blah, and I just quit, never play it ever again.
Carlos.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit. I'm gonna set up a dragon's head.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode number 45. I'm Nick Persnowski, and with me this week and every week is Tim Madden.
Run away, little girl!
Steve Morgan.
The cab's here!
Charles Caldwell.
I'm a scat man!
What's terrible is I was actually I had that song in my head for like whatever reason. I didn't hear it, but it was like brought up from memory, like in the past.
I want to listen to it
now. Made tons of money. Not really.
It was awful. I don't know why. I don't know why that ever came out, or like why it came out to us. Like what? It was all Alan's fault. But
he had a couple songs actually.
Did he?
Yeah.
Scatman?
Yeah. They're like two or three songs, I think.
He had like a devastating speech impediment that would made him stutter. And that's why he sang like that.
He's still richer than all of us.
Yep.
Maybe not anymore, but...
Well, maybe.
He took the route of
doing
MC Hammer.
Doing scat in the alley.
Not really DN.
Except he's not doing any musical scat. He's doing just literal fecal scat.
He now owns bears, and he's just having this bear shit all over the side.
Where did that come from?
My bear scat's everywhere.
When do you ever refer to poop as scat? It's when bears shit it out. Come on.
That's true. That is true. All right, let's get right into things, and. First thing, which is, I think, pretty important, is this week Sony financials reveal PlayStation's outsold Xboxes 3-1 in the first quarter of 2014.
Ooh.
That's pretty nuts. I mean, 3-1. We've talked about this previously on the podcast, but After Microsoft released Titanfall, and after they dropped their price, it's shocking, like it's completely shocking that it's outsold 3-1.
Yeah, I mean, I think they don't say in the thing, which is, I think, a little misleading, but it's all consoles, you know. It's all Xboxes, all PlayStations, all lumped into one. So I have a feeling, like, you know, PlayStation, I know when the PlayStation 3 came out, PlayStation 2 still sold, like, just as many as the PlayStation 3, and I feel like that's the same thing that's going on here.
Yeah.
I don't know why, like, the previous gen so much more, so, like, I don't know, so popular still, but seems like the same scenario.
It's cheap. Probably because they're cheap. They're cheaper now than they've ever been.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But, you know, and they're only going to continue to go down in price. It's going to be the same thing that happened with the PlayStation 2, because the PlayStation 2 is the best-selling console of all time. And,
yeah.
You know, they dropped that down to $99, and it was like, all right, well, yeah, why wouldn't I have one right now?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You know, it remains to be seen if the Xbox will actually catch up, or if it'll be the last generation thing where, you know, PlayStation was being outsold by Xbox initially, and then they caught up. So it's entirely possible. You know, with
maybe it's just cyclical and Xbox hasn't done it because they didn't anticipate really how much Sony was going to bring it, and now they'll revisit it and revamp it, and sure. Maybe then it will come back around. Because,
yeah.
I mean, the distinction between the two consoles isn't that great. I mean, it's...
Yeah, in all honesty, the only difference between the consoles is marketing. And, like, a few exclusive titles. And that's about it.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I think...
That's between both, too. I mean, there's exclusive titles for the Xbox, and they're exclusive for the PlayStation, so yeah. It still remains to be seen.
Yeah. Now the console's had a ton of exclusives as of yet, but I'm not super shocked by that, because a lot of the games that are coming out are just... they're developed for the new consoles, but they're cross-generation. And,
I think you have a point about it being cyclical, because it kind of... Like, if you look at the last generation, the Xbox came out first, and it just, like, dominated. Because it was like, the only next-gen console at the time that was out, so people just bought that. And then the PS3 came out, and they kind of, like, competed. But... And I think that as part of that, like, Xbox kind of got, like, comfortable, and they, Microsoft was like, alright, we don't have to, like, push that hard. And then at the same time, Sony was like, alright, we gotta, like, really come ahead out of this. So they gave everything they had when the PS4 came out. And I think that it shows, they're obviously selling more.
Yep. And they've, and I think this has been talked about definitely a lot, but the Sony stuck to what their original plan was, or whether that was in response to how Xbox released, the Xbox One, it doesn't really matter, because they've done what people wanted, and they've continued to do what people want.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's crazy. 3-1 though.
It's anyway. Pretty big difference.
It's huge. And then game release news, probably one of the most anticipated games of the summer, I would have to say. This game that's releasing on August 21st, called Hateful Boyfriend, which can only be, a Japanese game, because it's a game, for whatever odd reason, it's about dating pigeons. Which, why? It's not like you're dating legitimate pigeons. You're dating pigeons in a high school. You're going to a pigeon high school. Or something.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
No, it's...
Suspend all reality and descend into madness at the pigeon high school.
What I like about it is, if you look at the screenshots, like, this pigeon is talking, and it says, "Coo-coo!" And then, like, parentheses, it has, like, what he's actually saying, like, subtitles. Like, they actually... took the effort to put cuckoo in there, like, so you can
never worry, never fear. Okasan never brings up the rear.
Oh my
disturbing
god!
Disturbing innuendo as well.
Mm. He never takes it up the rear, or what? The Japanese, like, they just make these most most ridiculous games, and like. Who knows if... I don't know if it's actually even releasing out west, or, like, coming here, but...
Yeah.
I would play it.
Right. So, according to this, so, you're the last human woman in the world, and clearly, your only remaining choice is to just throw yourself at other people, at other pigeons, in some sort of pigeon high school. Because clearly the pigeons are going to take over and, like, become humans.
Yeah.
That is really freaking bizarre.
No, that makes no sense. I mean, why would you, if you're the last human woman, why would you go to pigeons? Like, really? That doesn't work. Anatomically, that doesn't work.
Yeah. Kloaka! Kloaka!
Said it was 10% off on Steam, so...
If you get the collector's edition, you get a digital version of the in-game yearbook. With all the pigeon heartthrobs. How could you not...
Oh my god.
How could you not drop extra for that?
terrible.
People have too much money if they're spending money on stupid shit like that.
Cloaca. All right.
If anyone knows what a cloaca is, then
I do.
I do too. Unfortunately.
Well, it's like 75% of this podcast, so we kind of like...
Birds shit and piss out of the same hole, so that's what's called the cloaca. It comes out in this stream of...
That would be rather convenient, actually.
Yeah, then you can get it all done.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about
it. Oh, not just pooping and peeing. They also have sex out of their cloaca.
Yeah. That makes it a little bit worse.
Cloacal intercourse. It's terrible.
It's a terrible place.
Yeah.
Alright. Well, you can buy the collector's edition of Hateful Boyfriend about dating pigeons. Or if you had the chance, you could have bought the Destiny Ghost Edition, which was on sale at one point for $150. And it comes in a box, and it's for Destiny. So it's a crazy, I don't know why people spend $150 on collector edition anything.
So they can resell it on eBay.
Right. Well, if you had the foresight to actually come and purchase that $150 pre-order, then you could sell it on eBay. They sold out like within a day, and now they're selling on eBay for $300 or more.
That's insane.
Which is insane. So the contents, it comes with a limited edition steelbook case, game disc, ghost replica, letter of introduction, Golden Age relics, Guardian folio, arms and armament field guide, postcards from the Golden Age, antique star chart, expansion pass, and digital content.
Wait, expansion pack? Like, to be decided?
Expansion pass. Yeah, pass. I guess.
So, like, you get it when it comes out?
So
it's a season pass, basically.
Yeah, it must come with a season pass, which that's pretty decent.
Yeah.
I mean, of any games that are coming out this, in the near future, I think Destiny is probably going to be the one that I actually buy DLC for.
Yeah, well, I feel like for a game like that, you're gonna have to get the DLC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to keep playing with your friends and stuff, it's like, you gotta.
Right, exactly. So, it'll be...
I feel like a lot of games, though, that have collector's editions end up getting sold for a lot more money later on.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Like, this happens a lot, I feel like.
Which is why I actually, I purchased the, the Order 1886 collector's edition, and I actually have the regular edition coming too, which is dumb, but I'll sell one of them. And hopefully they sell out before it starts, so then I can sell it for massive amounts of money, which would be awesome.
Yeah.
Millions and millions of dollars.
It was only $80 compared to $60, so I was like, meh, why not?
Yeah, why not?
See, I mean, what is the worst is when people buy, like, the digital collector's edition, because then it's like you have nothing to show for it, except for a very large receipt.
Do you want to buy my computer for $80 so I can give you the digital edition?
Yeah. It's terrible. It's not. I don't know. Anyways.
When is Steam going to let us sell our games? Come on now.
Someday. Or never.
Well, there is a... There is a, actually, kind of fun collector's edition of a board game coming out soon, which is the Zelda Monopoly Collector's Edition. And this looks, I don't know if you guys have seen the pictures, but it looks pretty awesome. I mean, Monopoly is one of those games that they come out with, like, different editions, like, every 2 weeks, but
yeah.
There's, like, a million different collector's editions of this, but it comes with, like... The pieces are the Triforce, the Ocarina, and there's a bow, I think, and there's a couple other kind of sweet pieces that come with it. And the board has all the places from Hyrule, and it seems cool.
Yeah, it does seem really cool. I think it, I don't know if it's I probably wouldn't buy it, but it would be cool to have, you know.
Yeah.
There's been,
I mean, it's still
there's definitely still been worse Monopoly boards, so.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, I think I have just the original Monopoly, and I don't think I will ever buy another Monopoly game, because it's, at the end of the day, it's still just Monopoly.
Yeah. That's about it. Is there like a Nintendo Monopoly? Or like a, because that would be cool.
I think there was a Nintendo related one. It was years back, but
yeah.
I don't remember exactly what was in it.
Because I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the only thing that really matters is like the pieces, like the little metal dudes.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I just want to build like an all-star team of like all the best little metal pieces and make like one ultimate Monopoly set.
Do not go to through Kyoriko Village. You go to Hyrule.
What is jail?
Jail is just jail. Oh. Temple of Time is Boardwalk. Hyrule Castle is Park Place.
Mm.
Living it up.
Yep.
Moving on up to the Temple of Time.
What are the railroads?
One is Epona, one is the King of Red Lions, which is the boat. Spirit Train, I have no idea what that's referencing, and then the Loft Wing from Skyward Sword.
Gotcha.
Looks like they have like a lot of lore to, they have, you know, however many Zelda games to draw
right
off of.
A mask merchant pay $400 rupees. Everything's in rupees.
There would be one of those cards that you pick up could be like, you smash a pot and you get 500 rupees. Be excellent.
That would be better if it was actually physical rupees instead of like paper money. To like handle all the shit, like, oh my god, this is a pain in the ass.
Rupees of all different colors, so that it was like,
yeah,
they actually had a denominational value.
And they were like the same size as the rupees in the game, like these monstrous things you had to like.
And then the electric and water bill is bomb shop and potion shop, and then free parking is just empty bottle. Oh no, wait, what the hell is that? What is that supposed to be taking up the spot of? I don't know.
I don't know. It'd be pretty fun. If you had just, like, endless amounts of money, then...
Yeah.
I would have every collection of Monopoly for absolutely no reason. Actually, I would buy the Monopoly games, like you said, just to keep the little pieces and then throw the rest of the game away.
Just have a collection filling your house with these metal pieces.
Little, like, pewter figurines or whatever.
Put them on your grafted glove out of all of those pieces. Like a metal glove.
Are you talking about like just attaching them to it, or like actually melting them all down?
Melting them all together,
because that would
not like so you lose their shape, but so you like graft them onto each other, so you have a glove and you can see all your pieces.
That would be pretty awesome. This is a giant metal gauntlet, so you just be like, like punch when you got angry.
I am Monopoly.
That'd be a hell of a backhand you could give there.
But you could also use it as your piece and like move it across the board, like goosh, goosh, and like all the houses like fall off. And...
Give me my hotel. You break out of jail with your metal hand.
It's a real use for it.
Anyway, the another, well, I mean, speaking of kind of Nintendo related things, Nintendo did a remake of the original Resident Evil on GameCube, and now Capcom is remaking Resident Evil, the whole original Resident Evil game in HD, so it's going to be full 1080p on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and then 720p on Xbox 360 and PS3. Which, Tim, you were talking about. You were talking about the how the aspect ratio changes in between the two. So it was
it allows the original game was actually made for a 4:3 aspect ratio, but the new the new version is 16:9, so like widescreen versus non-widescreen. But it's kind of weird how it works. Like it's basically zoomed in. So like when you scroll, when you like look down or look up, it'll actually like scroll up and down the screen. So it's kind of like seamless, but it's still designed to kind of fit in the same window as the previous game, which is just seemed kind of weird, but at the same time, I guess it makes sense. They want to preserve, you know, what they had. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, that is going to be a little weird, yeah. But it is only going to be released digitally, but I'm fairly interested in it, seeing that the remake on GameCube was probably like one of the scariest games I've ever played.
Yeah, agreed. It's a classic.
It is, and it was like, I mean, it was such an amazingly, the whole atmosphere, everything. It was just amazing, and so to make it even more realistic in today's terms is, yeah. And it's also going to be in 5.1 surround sound, which, ugh.
Yeah, the happy hallway with that is going to be like,
oh, good
holy
God.
Shit.
Yeah. Now those damn dead Dobermans that jump through those windows and.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I think it's also like a nostalgia thing, because that game, you know, when it came out for GameCube, it was like the, you know, GameCube was still kind of like the kiddie system, you know, just like Nintendo nowadays.
Yeah.
And when that came out, it was like this, I don't know, it's like, I just remember playing it like late at night, and we had played it like a million times, but we just kept playing it and playing it like to, just as this thing to do, and I don't know, I guess I have fond memories of it, but, you know, I would totally get it again and play it.
Absolutely. I'm down for it. The thing I found kind of weird was that it's not being released on the Wii U.
Yeah.
Which, after being re-released on the GameCube originally, seems kind of odd that it's not being released on the Wii U, but...
That is very strange.
I don't know what the reasoning behind that is. So
Wii U's no longer glamorous enough.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it could be like a technical issue, or I don't know, looking at the new, they showed like pictures of the new models, and it's not like, it doesn't look crazy like complex, but at the same time it could just be that the Wii U can't handle it, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm definitely going to buy it, regardless. If it's priced right, anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, if they sell it for like $49.99, then sorry, I'm not gonna do that. But
if they do, yeah. Can you imagine?
If they do it for like $15 or $20, I might play that.
Did they give a release date? I didn't see one.
I did not see one either.
Well, that sucks.
Oh, I think it's 2015. I did see that. It didn't say a specific date, but 2015.
We got some time.
Was on there, yeah. So. Jumping into a little scientific gaming news. A study recently showed that daily gaming can be good for children. And this is daily gaming in terms of less than 1 hour a day.
Yeah,
but this can apparently be good for children, because they were finding that kids who play an hour or less a day every day actually are better adjusted human beings and like have better relationships with people and whatnot. And they said that it's, you know, that can be attributed to the fact that the kids that play longer amounts of time are obviously physically not around other people, but it is kind of interesting. Like,
yeah,
I like these studies that, you know, say good things about gaming.
Well, it said that kids who play it, I think it was like an hour or a day or something like that. It has a positive effect, but like if they play slightly more than that, then it has no real effect. But then if they play like large amounts of games, then it has a negative effect. So it's kind of like, you know, I think basically what the study just shows is that like if you do a lot of different things, including gaming, then you're going to be a more well-rounded person, basically.
Right.
But they, you know. As an example, they use gaming.
But like most things, if you sink all of your time into it and you don't eat and you don't sleep, you're probably going to have a hard time.
So basically, common sense.
Yeah.
Yep. But that's okay. At least they're telling kids that they can play games, that it's not evil or terrible.
Yeah.
It's going to melt your brain!
It's going to cause blindness. You're going to be a terrible human being. You make awful moral decisions. No.
He played the video game for 2 hours and then he killed every cat in the neighborhood.
By the way, is that Susie I hear?
It is Susie. She's up on the ceiling like meowing like a maniac. Get the hell out of here. Fuck off.
Like clockwork.
I mean,
it's like every 40 seconds.
I close the door to, I'm in like the spare bedroom, but there's like an opening into the living room up top, and I closed the door because I didn't want all the like horde of animals running around the house. And of course, if any door is closed, she has to let us know, like, the door's closed. I don't like that. You're going to let me in wherever I want to go. And then she's going to walk in for 2 seconds and leave, like, oh, okay.
Yeah, Penny does the same thing. She walks into the room, and she kind of, like, stands still for a sec, looks at you, and then it's just like, I'm going to saunter out now.
Yeah.
Little bitch.
Yeah, really?
Oh, my God. I'm surprised she's not yelling at me right now, because I do have the door closed. Normally, I have the door closed, and she's yelling, and she has her arm under the door, like, yeah. Let me in there.
I'm going to get you, you bastard.
I don't know where you are, but my arm's going to touch you. I'm sure it is.
Yeah, Susie's figured out how to we have, like, sliding doors to her bedroom. She's figured out how to open them, so now we have to, like, lock the door. Otherwise, she somehow puts a little cat paws in and opens the sliding doors and then comes in, like, I'm in here now.
The T-1000 of cats.
Yeah, it's like,
Dink.
Just shoot him in the face with a shotgun or a dart.
I'm very close to doing that exact thing right now.
But if she was made of liquid metal, then it wouldn't matter, because she would just split in half and then
liquid magma
regenerate. Speaking of which, I watched The Last Action Hero with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I watched it with Dana, because she had never seen it. And
Biggie Baby Bottom Bumpus! You didn't know I was going to say that, did you?
Uh-oh. The bad guys are in there!
We've got Charles started.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's such a good movie, though. What reminded me is that the T-1000 is in The Last Action Hero. When they're entering the police station at one point, there's like all these actors and the guy who I forget his name, but the guy who plays T-1000 is
Patrick something, isn't it?
Yeah,
Patrick
something. He's dressed in police uniform, and they kind of play a short like Terminator music.
Huh.
It was awesome. Such a good movie.
Mm.
But
nerve gas.
So they drop the body on top of a crane and like swing him around, and then he explodes in the tar.
Didn't we just talk about this?
I don't know. I feel like we talk about it all the time.
Totally, yeah. 180, you Sicilian schmuck.
they pulled a 360 on us. But well, we talked about a study that showed that gaming can be good for children, but our topic this week is actually a study on something referred to as game transfer phenomena, which is basically what the study found. That it's a study that was done by Nottingham Trent University in the UK, and what was found was that kids, or it doesn't matter if it's kids, people who play video games for extended periods of time will actually go into reality and hear sounds, voices, and sometimes visual imagery of things, of games that they play, whether or not they actually know what the trigger for that sound was. And I thought the whole study was really interesting, because I've had this happen to me before, for sure. And so I emailed the people over at the senior press officer or something at the college, and they actually sent us a press copy of the entire study, which was awesome. So thank you very much for doing that for us. But I read through the entire thing, and it's really interesting. They looked through forums, and they searched for specific words, like keywords, regarding this sort of phenomena. And I think they came up with like 155 people or something, 120. Either 120, I think it's 122 people and 155 instances of this phenomena that occurred, which it's kind of crazy. And obviously, like, since they were doing studies from what people said on like blogs and other different discussion board type areas, it's limited by only what the person actually says, but. I don't know. What did you guys think of the whole study?
Yeah, no, I definitely think it was interesting, and it's true that it's kind of limited to what people said. I wasn't entirely clear based on just reading the study exactly how they did it, but and you kind of mentioned basically what they said, that they like found forms of where people said things. So I don't know. I don't know, it seemed
like it was based off of a survey that they must have posted on the forums,
yeah,
and then taken the responses from the participants and then kind of just aggregated what the questionnaires were into what they were looking for.
Yeah, I think what I got was maybe they create it wasn't as explicit as I thought it probably should have been, but I think it sounded like they may have created like a thread on different mm-hmm. on different gaming discussion sites, and then attempted to get whatever insights into these people, and it was basically everyone. It was only the only responses they got were from people who actually wanted to respond. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, it was definitely interesting though, and I think that it it kind of just proved something that we all knew about already, which is basically that, your games stay with you even when you're not playing.
Yeah. According to the study, like, some of the people reported some, like, pretty terrifying things, too. Like, just hearing, like, general whispering when they're around, or like they heard like I guess the radio sound that's made in Silent Hill when some terrifying monster comes up behind you.
Oh god, that'd be awful.
So like this kid reported hearing that sound and turning around and like running away and and then some other guy reported that he heard someone saying the word death. Like, just constantly for, like, two straight days. Death. Death.
But was that in a game, or did you just hear that? Because it's two separate things.
Well, I think the study's referring to what they hear after after they stop playing video games.
Some of the more terrifying ones, not terrifying, but worse ones for me was, like, where it's just, like, something you hear over and over again because you die. It's like, game over. And then that just gets stuck in your head, and then mm-hmm. you hear that, or other language. Like, I'm pretty sure that after playing Ocarina of Time, I heard,
"Listen!"
like, all the time.
Listen!
Yeah. Everywhere.
Yeah.
And everyone, and the voice that's stuck in everyone's head is, monster killing all of those, like, uber kill and all that stuff, too. So team kill. Multi-kill.
I think it was kind of, they said that they weren't focused entirely on just audio. That wasn't the focus of them.
No,
that was
audio visual. Well,
yeah, audio visual. But the 95% of the of what people responded was all audio. You know, it was all
right.
Hearing something from the game, which to me that I think that's unique. You know, it's the fact that I don't know if that says that our sense of hearing is more prevalent in gaming than anything else, but
yeah. It's they talked about a couple different ways that people were hearing it, because there was like there are people saying that they heard music in their head or voices in their head, and then there are people that heard voices or music outside of their head, so it sounded like it was coming from speakers somewhere around them where they were like forced to actually look around. And that instance actually happened to me. I was in a parking lot in like right after work, and I had stopped to pick up dinner, and I was in the parking lot, and I just hear NES, like classic NES video game music playing, and I'm like, what the fuck, like where's that coming from? So I literally like open the windows, and I was like trying to like do that thing where you like move in the direction of it to see like where it's coming from. I definitely did not exist anywhere. So I just got my food and went home. But yeah, it's pretty interesting. Like, I mean, and I guess what the study found was that people who heard the sounds the most were people who had played extremely lengthy video game sessions. So, you know, after playing, you know, I played 15 hours of this game, or I played 2 straight days of this game, and I mean, I think that'll happen with anything.
Yeah.
Especially if you're playing the same sort of, like, if you're playing the same game for that amount of time.
Yeah, especially if you're playing the same game with, like, the same exact sounds, it does no variation.
Right.
Like, I know for a lot of those NES games, it was the same music, the entirety, and the same exact sound for every instance where you jump. It's like, boing, boing, boing. Yeah. So it just gets stuck in your head.
Yeah, that referring to like sounds and the music and everything. What I found was interesting was that the people who were hearing these sounds or voices or music was that they were hearing them exactly the way they would picture them sounding in the video game. So there was a different pitch, or there was like, you know, the voice was like a different voice but saying the same thing. It was like they were hearing it exactly the way that they would have heard it in the game. So the recall on sound is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I feel like you could say the same thing about visual stuff, because I feel like if I'm playing a game a lot, like when I go to bed, I'll like actually see this game like over and over again, especially games that have like a lot of repetition and things that you just kind of scroll in front of your face.
Oh, yeah.
That happens to me all the time.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. I've definitely had, I mean, the number of video game dreams is ridiculous.
Yeah, and, like, I used to play Guitar Hero a ton, and when I would go to bed, I would just see the notes flashing, scrolling in front of my face when I went to sleep.
Like, Tetris. Yeah. Tetris was a big one for me, I remember, back in the day.
Me was always Mario. Like, the Super Mario and Mario Brothers and... Then it happened when I was playing GoldenEye, and I would constantly, well, I wouldn't constantly see it, but I would see that you dying with the blood coming down the screen.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da.
Yeah, I died a lot. I dreaded that. It was the worst.
Because you like,
played that game so much.
The blood came down, and your like body wavered around a little bit, and then fell down.
I don't know, I think that was the only game that I've ever played where I just dreaded failure. Maybe it was because it was so lengthy, where you know, the scene, you just know it's going to take you forever to get back and actually play again, but it was...
I, yeah. I think that they've kind of just touched on one aspect of it, though, and I think gaming kind of affects you in a lot more ways than, you know, just audio-visual, because I can remember playing, me and Alan Henderson played Star Wars Galaxies, and we were, like, fiends, you know, we just played it like crazy, and I don't know why we never, like, started, like, a guild or anything, but we just, when we communicated, we would just, whisper each other and chat, and so basically every time I typed, I would start with /R to respond. So we would be on like, and this is back when we had like AIM, you know, so we'd be in AIM and we'd just start every message we sent. Every time we talked to each other, we'd start with /R, and I would say /R to like random people. And every time I said anything, I would say /R. And it's like, it just got ingrained in my head that I needed to type that. I mean, that's kind of like a, it's not so much, that's more an example of like repetitiveness than anything else, but, another
muscle memory.
Yeah. Another thing I can remember is, I don't remember what game it was. It might have been World of Warcraft. It might have been Star Wars Galaxies, but I can remember walking around, and I don't remember if I was in like the mall or somewhere, and I just remember I needed to go somewhere. And I didn't know where to go, so my thinking was like, well, I should just look at the mini-map. And I was like... So I was like, my first reaction was like, look up to my right to the mini-map, and I was like, wait a minute, I'm not playing a game right now, you know, like... And I was just like, oh my god, there's something wrong with me. But I think, it can affect you in a lot of ways.
I think we should follow I got connected with some of the authors of the study through the press officer, and I think we should pay attention to these guys, because they've come out with, I think, several different studies related to this thing they call game transfer phenomena, which are I think can be basically anything. So it could be like what you're talking about, Tim, or the audio or visual stuff that they are talking about. I remember after playing, I was playing. It's just so weird, like how you like that transfer of game knowledge to real life, like, makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But like, I mean, I played Just Cause 2 on PlayStation 3, and it was like I platinumed that game, and it took me, I don't know, 80-90 hours, and like insane amount of time for a game like that, because you're not like there's no campaign, there's no quests left. It was just like, I just need to do these things, and it took me a really long time. So in that game, you have a grappling hook type thing that, so you can grapple up to things, and like I remember being like walking in a place that was really slow, and just being like, I want to go to that building up there. I could totally just grapple up to there, and it would take me like 1 second, and it was like, why would I think that? Like, I was looking up a hill, and it was like, oh yeah, I could totally grapple up there, and it would be, you know, take me 2 seconds, and I could see a sweet view or something. But nonsense.
Yeah.
But I did pose a question to some of our listeners, and the question was, do you ever think that you hallucinate video game music or voices in real life? And we got a couple responses, and at the audio sprite responded, I work in an old people's home. Sometimes the lights dim and I get a real Silent Hill scenario playing in my head, which is, that's terrifying. Like, and I feel like I have the same sort of reaction. Like, whenever the lights flicker, or like, you know, something happens, or there's, even when there's like complete silence, it's like something terrible is going to happen now. It's just like, that's just how this works.
Yeah, I feel like to add that on top of like a retirement home, it's like over the top, man. If they're like walking around, they're going to be hobbling around like the people in Silent Hill. So it's just going to be like, oh god.
And it's like, I feel like it's those types of games where it's like, oh, there's a bunch of dead people in like wheelchairs, and then only some of them get up, and it's like,
oh god, that'd be the worst. The bell's ringing. Bing. 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 A siren.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
I hate that. Sometimes I hear that. Like, the fire department near here makes that sound sometimes. It's terrible.
Is it in your head, or is it the fire department?
I don't know. We may never know. Another listener, at Jawgoosh, he said, I don't think I hear things, but I've had many Tetris dreams about rearranging and putting pieces back together. I love Tetris. And that's, you know, that's totally one of those, I think, like we talked about, one of those repetitive type games where it's just like, it's just gonna, it's gonna be there with you after you're done playing.
Yeah.
I've definitely had my Tetris moments where it's like, I'll be rearranging, you know, we'll be going somewhere on vacation with some people or something, and I'll rearrange all the suitcases in the trunk, and I can hear the Tetris music playing in my head. It's terrible.
I feel like we could use this to our advantage, like, you know, for certain sounds, if we, like, added sounds to the things, it would, like, make life better, or, like, make people more efficient, you know?
Oh, totally. Maybe this could be, like, this study could help, like, what those people were doing when they're making the video game that, like, instead of the resume.
No.
It's like, oh, these people play Tetris. They'd be really good at doing this in real life. another person wrote in and said, this is at DiBurrito, and he says, I often dream in 16-bit sprites. Does that count? I think that does.
No.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally.
To me it's weird that there were so few, like, visual things and way more audio things. I guess, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm just weird, but for me it's always been more audio than, I mean, more visual than audio. Like, I'll have dreams and be, like, in the game, you know?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I guess I don't, like, hallucinate, like, game characters walking around. Like, if it's, you know, if we're talking about...
I think that's where the distinction is, yeah. Is, like, it's thing... Not when you're sleeping, because your subconscious is already obviously devoted to the game, but, like, when you're, I don't know, normally living, and all of a sudden you're like, what's that sound?
Yeah. I guess that's true.
What's
that sound?
we got another response from at @CT_blog, and he wrote, while playing Metal Gear Solid, I heard a lot of Solid Snake in my internal dialogue.
Snake.
That's a good one. I feel like that's actually, I think that was actually in one of the study participants too.
I'm sure that's what a lot of people hear, because it's just constantly anything like that where you say the main character's name. That's why Navi was so annoying and just gets stuck in your
head.
Listen!
This is the worst.
And our final response from listener at TigerEyes85 said, I played so much Black and White long ago that I swore I began hearing my name being whispered by the game as I was playing. Thought I was losing it. Then later read in an article in a PC magazine, and the author mentioned something similar happening. Turns out, the game had a list of recognizable names, and if you type in one of those names at the beginning, it will randomly start whispering your name in later levels. Still was really creepy. That's...
Oh my god.
That is terrifying, actually.
Chris.
Charles.
I probably wouldn't even care. I'd be like, yeah, that's my name.
What?
That's what I put in.
What? What do you want? Stop whispering. Speak up.
That's freaky as shit.
So that brings us to our top four this week, which are the top four worst video game sounds to hear in real life, which we've come across. We've all discussed these, and there are some real terrible sounds that, if you were in real life, you'd be extremely concerned by. So I'll let you start, Charles, with number one.
So, the one that I chose was all of the various Link sounds in Ocarina of Time, where in the context of the game, they're fine. I mean, well, not really fine. I mean, they're a little disturbing at some points, but when you hear them, it just, in a slew, if you heard them in regular life, it would be horrible. I don't know, Nick. Are you going to play them, or do you want me to try to emulate a few?
Well, try and emulate a few, and then I'll play the video.
So, most of them are around Link trying to swing a sword, which is like, and then the rest of them sound like Link is trying to make a dunk, where it's like,
I mean, they all sound like dumps of varying degrees, or like,
like you're really trying to pinch one off, or like, you know, it's really stuck up in there. So okay, so these are the sounds in quick succession, which we found on YouTube. So.
Oh! It's like a shit came on. He's like, hey, hi, hi!
Can't deal with this.
And we'll end on that one, because he's screaming.
That's like really bad shit when you're like that.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like a bloody one.
No, that's when you're pooping out Udo Kier. I don't know if you've ever seen that Danish show called Kingdom Hospital, but somebody gives birth to a full-size Udo Kier in it.
Oh, wasn't that on television?
What's an Udo Kier?
Yeah, what is an
the actor? You can recognize him.
So he gives birth to a man.
Yeah. I thought it was like some Danish like evil demon or something.
Yeah.
He gave birth to an Udo Kier.
Well, it might as well be. I mean, the guy plays a lot of villains.
All right, number two. Number two is mine, and I chose the regenerator zombie breathing from Resident Evil 4. So when you're in Resident Evil 4, there's you're in the lab section, and there's this zombie that just you don't necessarily know where he is, but you can hear his breathing, and it's. It's awful, and I have another sound clip here, but like it's one of those things where you're like, oh shit, like, and it plays like a different sound, like the music changes when he knows where you are, and you're just like, oh shit, like I don't know where he is. I can hear his breathing, and I don't know where he like walks slowly. It's fucking terrible, but okay, so this is the. It's just basically panting breathing, and it's all just absolutely awful. And he's like, he's all like gangly, and you can he's called the regenerator because you can shoot off all of his limbs and they just regenerate back, and he kind of just like shakes, and then oh, he has another limb. It's terrible. So that brings us to number three, which I think is Steve.
Just do it for me. It's just all you guys. I was just going to say, my most annoying sound in the game is the head crabs in Half-Life. Those little things like crawling around, they come jumping on your head, and it's like the most like ridiculous sound you'll ever hear. It's just terrible. Yeah. Like, and it was scary shit back then, man. Yeah. It scared the shit out of me.
I remember that level. It's like when you go to the... like the outskirts of town, the town that's been just abandoned, and all these little head crabs are all over the place. They're the worst. They can grind on your head, and get on the heads of other people, and then they start coming after you.
The Raven Home, or Raven's Home, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay.
They were just creepy.
Hold on. I have an ad.
Yeah.
That was, oh yeah, that was like the noise, like if you walked by them and they didn't know you were there, they would make all these creepy noises.
It's like a clicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably where they got the noises.
I thought about putting that down too, because I was like, yeah. Oh man, those fucking things. Because they would just stand, in The Last of Us, they'd just stand completely still and then you'd hear... It's just like, where are you? Terrible thing. Number four.
This is just the worst noise in the world. Worst noise possible. This is the the claw from GoldenEye. Pretty much the worst gun ever. Anyway, the claw, like, I can't even do the noise. It sounds like a car driving and the transmission falls out and they drive for like another mile and it's like it shoots just like it's like sounds like they stuck two pieces of metal together with like a rubber band and duct tape and then started shoving bullets in it and we're like gling, 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 gling. I don't know, play that, roll the audio.
Alright, here we go. Hold on, I'm looking for a good one. All right, I'll just see what this first one is. Some good the most of the music to start out with. It is terrible. It's like. It's awful. It's a terrible, terrible sound.
It is.
So, those are the four sounds that we believe would be the absolute worst to hear in real life. Whether just because, actually, like, because sounds just shouldn't be made like that ever. But that brings us to the time of the podcast when we talk about what we've been playing. So, Steve, while you're still with us, why don't you why don't you tell us what you've been playing?
Dota. Well, actually, to be honest, I haven't really played much because I was at like a bachelor party this weekend, and then I came home and all my roommates like roasted a 70-pound pig, and so like I haven't actually had time to like really have my normal life, what I consider my normal life, which is to sit down and to just play video games. But I have a bunch of games, like I said, so I played a couple games of Dota, and that's really it, to be honest. Sad. It's a sad day.
Sweet. Tim, what are you playing?
I actually, this weekend, I got into the Evolve Alpha. So I played that this weekend, and it was really fun. We got a chance to look at it, see it at PAX, but I don't think any of us played it. But, it was cool. There was a lot of, I have some issues with it, but overall it was fun. I think the one bad thing about it, though, is that it's, like, really dependent on like, the experience of everyone playing, because, you know, it was an alpha, so most of the people playing, like, had never played it before, to be fair, but... Like if one person in your group didn't know what they were doing, then it totally screwed your team over. Like, some of the team members are like hugely important. Like the Trapper, they have this one ability called Mobile Arena, and they throw this little thing out, and it literally it's like a dome that traps the monster, and it's like insanely overpowered. Like it totally, if you manage to get that off, it will basically end the game right away, and the monster is screwed. So like there's a lot of vital things like that on your team, and if you get someone who doesn't know what they're doing, then it's like really hard. But I don't know, it's cool. It like caters to people who want to play with like a group of friends and you know, be like really team based, and it also caters to people who are like lone wolf players who want to play the monster and just destroy people. So, I don't know. It seems like it'll be fun. I'm excited.
Sweet. Yeah, I had my concerns with it, so wasn't sure about it, so I was glad.
Can you make a selection between whether you play the monster or the team? Or
For the alpha, you kind of like prioritize which one do you want to play. I don't know if that's what they're going to do in release. I would think that they would make it so that you can like hard select what you want, but you know, so you kind of like said, okay, you know, I just put monster first and then, you know, and prioritize all the other stuff. But who knows? It was cool though.
Nice.
Yeah.
Charles, what are you playing?
Well, I, like I said in the last podcast, I got done playing Tomb Raider, started playing Bioshock Infinite, Episode 2, Barrel Industry. It was good, I liked it a lot. It was much more stealthy than either Bioshock Infinite or Bioshock Infinite Episode 1. And then the storyline was really strange, and it got way more into Bioshock and kind of left me, it was a good ending, it was kind of strange, but now I'm playing Wolfenstein, and really enjoying that. I like how you can stab the Nazis in the neck.
Stabbing is really good.
And then you're carrying two knives, and then you throw it, you run up to the other person, you stab them, you grab the knife, and then you throw it at another person. I like, we're doing that a lot.
Yep, fantastic. Wolfenstein is great.
It's like a rotation of knives, just...
It's awesome. I finished playing Watch Dogs, at least the campaign of it, and I'm selling it now, because I don't want to spend a ton of time going through and doing every single other little side quest or whatever. I don't know, I just wasn't...
Yeah, you're nay. How good was the game overall?
I don't know. Seven, maybe? I don't know. It didn't hold my attention as much as I really wanted it to, and the storyline was kind of piss poor, and I mean, I liked some of the gameplay, but I think, like Steve said before, like, I found myself, because you were, you know, there were a lot of parts where you go in and be stealthy, and then, but I found myself, like, I got a good gun, and at one point, and found that I was just going in and destroying everyone. Like, just killing them outright instead of, like, going in, hacking the computers, exploding them when they walk over them, and...
Yeah, there could have been a lot more creativity when it came to doing that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I started playing Sniper Elite 3, and the game is pretty slow. I don't know. You can play co-op, which I'm gonna play with one of our listeners at some point, and I'm hoping that the co-op's better. But you know, you go in, you're just one person, and you're basically like, you scope out everything, and it's just slow. I don't know. I'm not as excited about it as I wanted to be, but I don't really care, because I'm going to play Destiny in a month, so...
Yeah.
Whatever. But, yeah, that's it. That, brings us to the end of the podcast. So,
Tim, what are you playing? Did we say what you were playing?
Me?
Yeah, Evolve.
We talked about it for like an hour and a half, Charles.
God damn it, Charles!
I'm just spacing like a maniac over here.
You blew it. Charles, you blew it.
It should just be a clicker.
Alright, well, I wanted to thank at the Audio Sprite, at Jagoosh, at DiBurrito, at CT_blog, at Tiger's Eye 85. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Steve. I'm Nick. This has been Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 45. And we're done.
Adios.
Late Night Gamers. Steve. Sucks so bad, it's all down. It's blah. I just quit. Never play it ever again.
Carlos.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit. I'm gonna cut off a dragon's head.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess. As long as you don't take your clothes off.
Let me put my sound in here. I might just start talking like a robot or just not talk for a while.
Robot-a-tron.
Just don't worry about it. Thank you. I'm drinking a Limerita and I'm having like cheese and crackers fed to me right now, mid-podcast.
Living the life.
Well, this is going to be a beaut.